Hare Krishna. So today we are going to discuss Nectar of Instruction. The title of that?
Atyahara Prayasascha.
Atyahara Prayasascha.
Prajalpo Niyamagraha.
Prajalpo Niyamagraha.
Jana Sangasta Lolam Cha.
Jana Sangasta Lolam Cha.
Okay, so now I'll ask, who should I ask? The first line? Okay, what is the first word of the first line?
Atyahara.
Give me the line.
Atyahara prayasascha.
Okay. What's the first word of the second line?
Prajalpa.
Very good. And without looking at the books, what's the first or the third line?
Jana
Sangha. And what's the rest of the line?
Jana Sangha is Chalo
Vilacha. And then the fourth line?
Sadhir Bhakti.
Very good. Sadhir Bhakti.
Vilashati.
Okay, now let's go for word, go word for word. Atyahara means?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the thing called sandhi or conjunction of words? Mm-hmm. In Sanskrit, the words can be joined together. That is called sandhi. Mm-hmm. Now, the joining of the words follows certain principles. Like ati, the word. This is the two words, ati and ahara. Ati and ahara. And so ati, the word ati is ending with e. And ahara is beginning with a. So when there is an a after e, it becomes Y. Like Ati Ahar became Atyahara. Now Ati means too much. And Ahara means to collect or to eat. So collecting too much is Atyahara. Prayasha, prayash means
endeavor.
So, atyahara, prayashascha. Then prajalpa means? Prajalpa means? Yeah, gossip. Gossip. And prajalpa then? Niyamagraha. Now, I told about the sandhi. Here is another sandhi, niyama and agraha, that when there is a or a after an a or a, short a or long a, then it becomes a. Niyama ending with a and agraha. Or niyama agraha. In both cases, it will become niyamagraha. These two words are becoming one with a long A. Sanskrit is actually a very scientific language. Very scientific language. And advantage is, once you know the rules, things become easy. Otherwise, it appears to be difficult. Like sometimes it is said that French is actually easier than English. You know why? Although French pronunciations have some complex, E-A-U-X, or A-U-X, is pronounced as O. O. And E-O-U-X, like, how do you spell Chateauroux?
Chateauroux.
Roux. Yeah. So it sounds strange, like A-U-X is, it will be ox, right? But it sounds, it pronounces O. Or E-A-U-X is U, right? Like, but the thing is, once you know the formula, once you know, then all the time, the same, there is no change. There is no alteration. Like, it will always follow the same. Whereas in English, it's different. Yeah? Right? Right. And, like, it's completely unpredictable. English is very unpredictable. You have to know the word.
Memorize
it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, say, you know, like, how do you justify? P-U-T is put, right? But B-U-T?
But.
P-U-T is put, but B-U-T is but.
Knife.
Huh? Yeah, knife. K-N-I-F-E. So why? It's not knife, but knife. Yeah, in Sanskrit also. Yeah. Words are, in Hindi also, male and female words. Yeah. I think French also has male and female words. German has.
And neutral.
German has male, female, neutral. Yeah. And in Sanskrit also, male, female, and neutral gender.
Bengali, no.
No. Because with the male, female, the articles will change. The grammar will change. Application of grammar. Anyway, the point is that Sanskrit, one thing is that it is tough to learn, but once you have learned the rules, then it's easy. It comes automatically. And ultimately, language is a matter of practice. I found learning French very difficult. But my teacher told, no, French is easy. I wanted to give up. So she said, no, French is easy. She insisted that French is easy. And then she told me, in France, even children speak French. So niyama agraha and niyama agraha. Agraha, graha means accept. The word graha means accept. Now the prefix a negates it. Agraha means rejection. Accepting and not accepting is graha is grahan or graha is accept and agraha is rejection. Now when there is a suffix, when there is a prefix a, then it means too much. Desire, to wanting it too much, agraha, to be very eager to have that. So to be a niyama agraha means to be too enthusiastic about the rules and regulations. Or niyama agraha, the same, apparently the same word can mean two different things. Like niyama agraha means not at all following the rules and regulations or accepting the rules and regulations. Niyama, niyamagraha, prajalpa, niyamagraha, then the fifth one is janasangasya. Janasangasya means janasanga means mundane association. And lolam, greed. To become too greedy about materialistic things of sense gratification. So these are shadbhi, shat means six. This six, bhakti vinashati. Vinash means destroy. So these things will destroy your devotion. So before you enter into devotional practice, watch out for the six destroyers of your devotion. Atyahara also has, this word also has two connotations. Ahar means to eat. Ati means too much and ahar means to eat. Eat too much. Or the word ahar can also mean collect. like ahoran, like to collect. To collect too much, to possess too much, to accumulate too much. And this leads to prayas, endeavor. We want something. Does everything come so easily in the material nature? Unless you have a lot of good karma. Things are tough in this world. To get things is very difficult. It's a big endeavor to get anything. For animals, just to get some basic food in the forest is so difficult. Can you imagine? Although lion is a very powerful animal, but it has to struggle so much to get some food. It has to wait for the right kind of animal, and then you have to kill the animal. At least for lions, at least it can kill the animal. But there are some other animals that they cannot kill other animals. Like hyena and jackals. They have to wait for the lion's remnants. A lion would kill, lion would eat, and then when the lion leaves, they will go and have the lion's prasad. So, it's so tough. Life is so difficult in this material nature. And prayas, everything, I mean, to get the bare minimum is such an endeavor. What to speak of? Over-accumulating. Like I remember I was in, once I was in German farm, Nishinga Kshetra. And it was winter, and the winter gets really cold. I don't know how I ended up in winter. Generally, I avoid European American winter because it's not a nice place to be in at that time. And especially in Nishinga Kshetra, you know, that year it was such heavy snowfall. There's something like 8 or 9 feet snowfall, and by the side of the road you could see that it was piled up. You know, like they moved the ice for the roads to be clear. But on two sides, you know, a huge pile of snow. And in that snow, I saw one rabbit. I woke up early and was chanting, and I looked out of the window, and I saw a lone rabbit. There was nothing, it's all white everywhere. And the rabbit came out, and there was a tree, and from the tree, the one leaf was hanging. Just one leaf, because it's winter, I don't know how that leaf also was there. Well, and the rabbit was endeavoring so much just to get that one leaf. That is how tough survival is in this material. Or why? What to speak of? I mean, why rabbit? Consider a man in the middle of a desert. What he wouldn't do to get just a glass of water? Or what to speak of a plateful of prasad? And so this is how difficult material nature is. So to collect anything, to accumulate anything, it automatically demands a big endeavor. So Prabhupada is pointing out that this atyahar will lead to endeavor, various kinds of endeavor. And in the name of, and while endeavoring, they make all kinds of cheating people. To get things, they would go to the extent of killing people, cheating people. And Prabhupada is pointing out that they even take to religious practices in order to get some material object. Like, they apparently appear to be religious, but what is their ultimate objective? To get some material benefit. To get some, to accumulate something. So, So, also, this atyahar is causing all kinds of difficulties in the human society. Like a man, the other subhuman species, the lower species of life, they, by nature's arrangement, they get their food. And when they get their food, that's all right. They don't think of saving their, saving for future. Sometimes they do. That's another experience I had, also in Europe. It was a fall, just before the winter. One day we went out for a walk. And then I saw one squirrel. He got a nut. And he took, he was digging a hole to hide the nut. So saving for future. They know winter is coming. But generally they don't do that. By nature's arrangement, they have, their food is in abundance. If they're vegetarian, if they're herbivorous. Herbivorous animals don't have much problem. The problem is with the carnivorous. Because, why? Because they're actually going against nature. That shows that food, flesh, is not even a natural food for animals. Due to their karmic reactions, they develop this tendency to eat meat. But in normal condition, nature's arrangement, everyone should be herbivorous, vegetarian. And we see that when one is vegetarian, everything becomes so easy. So that shows that it's natural. Like there's plenty of leaves. For animals, what do they need? Leaves, roots, branches. And if they get fruits and nuts, it's a feast for them. But human beings, at least among animals, you get herbivorous and carnivorous. But human beings are omnivorous. They eat all, everything. There is a saying that in China, Tamal Krishna Maharaj once told me, that in China, they eat everything that flies except in the aeroplanes. And everything that floats in water except in a ship. So, and more materialistic people become, the more gross become their food habits. And so Prabhupada is pointing out how all kinds of problems are due to this over-endeavor for collecting things that are desirable to us. Prabhupada gives the example of keeping a bag of rice in the middle of the road in a deserted place. In the morning some birds will come. They'll eat as much as they need, then they'll fly away. Then some animals will come, like cows and goats and sheep. And they'll eat as much as they need, then they'll go away. But as soon as a man comes, he'll pick up the whole bag and walk. That is the man's nature. He is not satisfied just by getting what he needs. He wants to make arrangements for future. He wants to accumulate. That is atyahar. And the result of atyahar is you try to accumulate for your, not only for yourself, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, for your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. But what is the outcome? Prabhupada is giving the example. It is a fact, actually. A man, he accumulated so much money for his children. And he gave them a big house and a lot of money. Very wealthy man. So he made such wonderful arrangement for him. But in his next life, he was born as a cobbler in the neighborhood. He wanted to be near the house. He wanted to be in the house, but after death, that is not going to, what we want will not happen accordingly. But the desire worked. He wanted, at least he couldn't be in the house, but at least he was near in the house. Sometimes Prabhupada said somebody becomes a cockroach due to his attachment to his house. He gets the birth of a cockroach and to stay in the house. He's in the house, but not as the lord of the house, but as a cockroach. Sometimes they become a mouse. Sometimes they become a snake and protect the house. Don't let anyone come. In old houses, we find these kind of snakes that they guard the house. And so this poor guy is born in the neighborhood, near the house, as he desired, but he was born as a cobbler. Now, in Indian culture, sometimes these lower class people are not treated very nicely. So, he went to that house one day, but because he was a cobbler, his own son beat him up. But you are a mochi, you are a cobbler, why did you enter, how did you dare to enter in my house? So this is how we actually invite our misfortune and create all kinds of complexities for us individually and collectively, just because of our tendency to collect more than what we need. But the basic reality is that everything is there in abundance. Everything, especially if we lead a natural life, everything is there in abundance. There's plenty of food, there's plenty of water to drink. But the thing is, it's due to our greed that is causing the scarcity. This is also, Prabhupada pointed out, that the scarcity we notice is only in the human society. In the nature there is no scarcity, in the animal society, bird society and so forth. They get their food. Like an elephant needs a huge amount of food, maybe a few hundred kilos. But gets his daily bread, daily food. And an ant who needs just a grain of food and gets that also. This is how Krishna's nature takes care of every living entity's needs. But man is not content. Man is not satisfied by just fulfilling his needs. He wants to have more. So greedy. Lolam. Greed. is causing all these problems. And because of the greed, he is accumulating so much. And that is causing scarcity for others. Krishna has given food for everybody. Now somebody, he accumulates so much food in his warehouse. He needs maybe 100, 200 grams of food every day, but he is accumulating hundreds of tons of food in his warehouse. Now, where is that hundreds of tons of food coming from? It is coming from others' quota. He is stealing them from others' mouth and accumulating, and as a result of that, there is scarcity. But if we live in nature, if we just submit ourselves to nature's arrangement, there won't be any scarcity. And man's greed is causing other kinds of scarcity. Like not only scarcity of food, like although there is no scarcity of water generally, but the water is becoming polluted. As a result of that, there is not sufficient drinking water. And one has to buy drinking water. Like I remember when I was young, it was kind of considered that to sell water will lead him to very bad karma. Because selling water was unthinkable. Because by nature's arrangement, it's there in abundance. And what you'll notice in India, in summertime, people, in order to aquify tea, they distribute water. They just open up, because it is considered that giving water is a form of piety. So selling water is a sin. But today, everyone is selling water. Everyone is buying water. It's become part of our life. Why? Because of man's greed has created the scarcity in the society. All these things that are actually the bare necessities of life has been abundantly supplied by Krishna. But we are not satisfied with Krishna's arrangement. We are making artificial arrangements due to our greed. And at least now we are buying water, but we are not buying oxygen. Not as yet. But soon there will be.
There is. In some very polluted places, there's oxygen bars. You have to pay in Japan.
Right. Japan, Mexico.
Up in the higher elevations, in Colorado for skiers.
That is another thing. That's natural. You see, like when you go high up, the air becomes thinner, and it becomes actually, yeah, oxygen is less. But the thing is that to breathe oxygen becomes difficult. That's why one has to carry oxygen. But in normal condition, Krishna made all the arrangements. Krishna made all the arrangements for all the food that we need. Regarding that also, Prabhupada once gave a very wonderful example. He took a prune and he held the seed in his hand. And he said, inside this seed, there is a tree. In that tree, there are innumerable fruits. And in each fruit, there are seeds. And in those seeds, there are trees. Each seed has a tree. And in those trees, there are innumerable fruits. So see what a wonderful arrangement Krishna has made. An endless supply. The arrangement Krishna has made. But we, in the name of our advancement, are destroying that arrangement. And as a result of that, there is so much suffering in society. So it's not only destroys our spiritual life, our greed, our endeavor to accumulate more than we need is destroying everything. The human society is in such a bad shape today because of our greed. Then Prajalpa, the third one, is Atyahar, Prayash, and then Prajalpa. Oh yeah, now to elaborate a little more on the Prayash, nothing comes easy in the nature. We have to struggle. But the struggle is only very, very limited, very simple, very little. For example, the seeds are given by Krishna. The fertility of the land is arranged by Krishna. Water has been arranged by Krishna. Right? But the farmer, he simply tills the land. That act is actually a very insignificant part of the cultivation process. But he, because he makes a little endeavor, he gets the credit for the whole cultivation. Right? He gets the harvest. He gets the fruit of that endeavor. Now, tilling the land may be a little strenuous. But consider, if there was no rain, there won't be any crop. If there was no sunshine, there won't be any crop. If there was no seed, there won't be any crop. Now Krishna made all these, and if the land was not fertile, there won't be any crop. So Krishna created the fertility of the land, Krishna has created the seeds, Krishna has created the water in the form of rain, and Krishna has arranged for the sunshine. And as a result of that, we are getting the seed falls on the ground and the plant comes out, and in the plant there are fruits or grains. So Krishna made all these arrangements. But if we don't accept those arrangements, rather, if we try to counteract those arrangements, naturally we are inviting trouble for ourselves. Rather, in Krishna consciousness, we should act just in an opposite way. Opposite way of the way the society is going today. Rather, depend upon nature, not depend upon the man's arrangements. Therefore, Prabhupada was so emphatic about self-sufficient communities. We have to defy, at some point or other, we have to defy this destructive arrangement that today's human society has created everything. So, the third one is prajalpa. Prajalpa means gossip. We briefly discussed about this point yesterday. Like the tendency to speak. Now this tendency to speak can be utilized in two ways. We can either speak sense or we can speak nonsense. So speaking nonsense will naturally lead to difficulties and distress and destroy our spiritual life. But speaking sense means speaking about Krishna. Jare dakho, tare kaho, Krishna. When you don't do that, then it becomes prajalpa. Speaking about all kinds of mundane things, all kinds of undesirable things, unwanted things. And janasangasya, janasangya means association of materialistic people. If we associate with materialistic people, what will be the result? They'll drag us down to their level. They will generate interest in doing things that they like to do. I'm noticing nowadays, everywhere, especially in India, maybe in other countries also, the people have become so attached to frivolous games like football, cricket, tennis. Like when I was in London at the time of when they were having the World Cup final. Last summer, World Cup
in Germany.
And there was no car in the street. The streets were empty. And London, like midday, London is packed. Like you can't move because there's so much traffic. There's a saying that from one point to another point in the city, the time it used to take to go there for 100 years back, today also it takes the same time. 100 years back they were going on horse-drawn carts. The time it used to take from, I don't remember which point to which point. And today also it takes the same amount of time. Because there's so much traffic, you don't move. So that is London. But that day, It was completely bare, completely empty. And I wondered, what happened? And I was told, it's a football World Cup final. So everyone is sitting at home. So they're just watching. So this is also another kind of prajalpa. Watching this game. Ultimately, what's the benefit? And then they talk about it. So this prajalpa is another detriment to spiritual progress. Not only a detriment to spiritual progress, it's a destroyer of the spiritual progress. Why is it? Wake him up, sleeping there. You're sleeping? Why? Don't sleep in the class.
Didn't intend to.
Huh?
Didn't intend to fall asleep.
I see, okay. That's why I woke you up.
Thank you.
Prajalpa, then Niyama Agraha. Niyam means rules and regulations. There are different rules and regulations for our spiritual progress. When we take to spiritual life, we are meant to act in a certain way. And those, they are actually guiding us on the spiritual path. Now, too much attachment to those niyamas or the rules and regulations is detrimental to our spiritual progress. Or, not to be at all interested in the spiritual activity is also another form of detriment. So, yes?
Can you give like a practical example of too much attachment to rules, because it's someone is hard to understand it maybe for me.
I see. Yeah, you see, too much attachment, actually what it means is that being, you know, too much caught up with just the externals, losing out, missing out on the essence of it. Like, sometimes we find that someone is too particular about certain things. Like, he would say, he would put the tilak and he would take hours to gather, make it real nice, and he won't even, he will use cloth and very systematically he will, you know, rub it off. But when it comes to going to Mangala Arati and attending the program, he is missing, right? Or he is very much caught up with the externals, like following simple practices, but when it comes to rendering devotional service, he is nowhere to be seen. He will wear his dhoti very meticulously. He'll put his tilak very meticulously. But you ask him to render devotional service, he says, "Prabhu, I don't have any time. Ask somebody else to do it." Now the point is, what is important? Just this following these rules and regulations, or getting the taste of spiritual life by being engaged in devotional service? Or somebody is not at all interested in following the rules and regulations. Like, he's expected to get up in the morning, but he doesn't. He is expected to attend the morning program. He does not. He is expected to associate with the devotees. Now these are the niyamas. But he is not interested in following that. So this niyamagraha means both the things. To be over-enthusiastic about the external, just the superficial rules and regulations, but not being attracted to the process itself or the essence of devotional service itself, or not being interested at all in spiritual practices. So both of them are detrimental to spiritual growth. And Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, Janasangasya, you discussed already, and Lollam, to become too greedy. Like Prabhupada is pointing out, that this greed is also a result of Atyahar. When you try to accumulate more, this desire for accumulating more is actually the greed. So these six are detrimental to our spiritual progress. So what should we do? This is the beginning of Upadeshamrita. The instruction. In the first verse, Rupa Goswami pointed out what we have to do in order to become situated in the sphere of spiritual platform, to become a pure devotee. But the instructions are actually beginning as a devotee what we should not do first. Then the next verse will be what we should do. This is what we should not do. We must avoid these activities if we are sincere about making spiritual progress. Now let's go into some discussions. Any points from you all that you'd like to add, or any question? Yeah?
I want to ask about prayas in the spiritual life. If sometimes we are putting too much endeavors about spiritual goals, this is good or...
Yeah. You see, endeavor for spiritual upliftment is always beneficial. Like, these things are in relation to material things. Like, prayas, to make an endeavor for spiritual advancement is very good. But here, if the prayas is to accumulate the material things that we need for our sense gratification, that prayas is detrimental. But if you are endeavoring to distribute Prabhupada's books, that's the prayas. Now, will that be detrimental to your spiritual life? No. If you are trying to preach to people and going out of your way to make them into devotees, that's also a prayer.